Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Again, I'd like to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio, LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Stephen Lee, and I'll be sharing with you the Word of God tonight. So if you would, go ahead and get your pencil and paper, something so that you can write some notes. And at the end of the message, we'll have commentary or give answers so that we can all grow thereby. So if you would, just go ahead and prepare your hearts, and we'll pray and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold the wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from glory to glory and from faith to faith, because you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, today we want to talk about a subject. God is not the author of confusion. Because I find that but of peace. Let me finish that. Yes, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And it's that, well, that scripture is located in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. I find that a lot of times people allow themselves to participate in a place where they were not called to live. The devil uses confusion as one of his weapons, and it's there to stall our motion and our effectiveness. Confusion is always a byproduct of the flesh, and it sets us up for separation and isolation. But we should be aware, the Bible says, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We should be aware of what he's trying to do so that we can then go around. It would be such a good understanding if we would allow the Spirit of God, whose job it is to lead us into all the truth. He's not going to lead you around the truth. He's going to lead you into it, dead in the center of it, if you would. And so since I understand that's his job description, I need to get out the way and let him be the pilot. I know y'all have seen the little tag that says God is my co-pilot. No, God is not my co-pilot. God is my pilot. Because if I try to get to a place that I don't know of, I'm probably going to end up lost, wasting all of my time. But since God knows everything about me and everything that is created for me, it would be simply wise for me to allow him to teach me and show me how to get there. I mean, how much more time would we save if we would just simply allow the one that knows be the one that leads, not the ones that's guessing? A lot of times in our life, we are just guessing and hoping and wishing. But he's given us a roadmap to give us exactly what we need when we need it if we would submit to that. And see, sometimes I guess that would be the issue because we've been trained in trying to do it ourselves. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. So I would just submit to you to begin to know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. I just love that. This tells me that God is trying to get victory in his body. You know, sometimes we hold on to the membership, the membership that we have with one entity or another, and we try to lord that over one another. You know, God did not call you to church membership. He called you to kingdom citizenship, okay? And that's a little bit different. When you are a kingdom citizen, you enjoy the benefits of being a kingdom citizen. If you are a member, generally, there are dues and fees that are required. Membership requires fees. Citizenship, you can be born into that. And once you're born into citizenship, then you get to enjoy inheritance. You get to enjoy the fullness of what God intended. I mean, just as a thought process, you know that we are at the beginning of a year and they're soliciting gym membership. And every one of those gym memberships require financing. See? And then after you go through the process of releasing monies, then you can participate in the things that that particular membership allows you to. If you didn't pay for the Rolls Royce, if you didn't pay for the top shelf, you don't get to do all of the things that that membership would be able to allow you to do because it is limited. See, God gave us an unlimited access to the very kingdom of God. It says it in Luke chapter 12. It says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the whole thing. See, but a lot of times we would rather go and get what we think we deserve or what we earn, or we will allow the enemy to mess us up and keep us from getting what we already have inherited. See, those are the things that we need to just understand. We need to look at and begin to process our heart from that position. See, because God is wanting, has already guaranteed that we should function in victory. He's already guaranteed that. So since he's already guaranteed it, we should just walk in. You know, I bring this up a lot. In my mother's house, when I was in my mother's house, everything in the house that I lived in, I had access to. I had unlimited access. When I opened the refrigerator door, I didn't feel like a stranger or someone that had to go and ask. If it was in the refrigerator, it was connected to my life. It was part of my provision. And that's the way I lived. I went to other people's houses, and I ingratiated myself. I just made sure I was part of the family. So I did the same thing in their houses as I did in my house. I would operate under the rules that they had in the house, and then that, because I was there, like I said, the people I was in, I would go all the time, okay? I didn't have an issue with that because I'm going to make sure that the things that were necessary to be done, that if I had a friend there, then when the friend was with me, I had a covering for that friend. And everything that that friend had was mine, and everything that I had was the friend's. It was understood. So that when I came over, I my name was in the pot. I mean, I can name plenty of places where that was. My name was in the pot, okay? It wasn't like if I was going to eat, I was going to eat there. Why? Because I made sure that the things that I did would ingratiate me to that family. Okay? That's the way my mother did. Everybody that was a friend of mine. I just didn't bring anybody into the house. I brought friends that were people that were my friends, that had my back. And so God has invited you into that same relationship knowing that he has your back. He's not going to withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. See? But if I think that God's not on my side, he doesn't love me, he's not thinking about me, well then, see, I'm confused, aren't I? That's why the enemy tries to set up confusion, and there's so many ways that this thing flows. See, confusion is always a work of the flesh. Watch this. We'll show you how it's simple to see some of the things. The enemy is always trying to divide and conquer. and he will use either fear or anger or frustration, judgments or pride. All of these manifestations come out of our flesh. They are all centered in self. How I feel, the pride of life. What I think. What they said about me. What I saw them do. See, that's all centered in self. If the devil can get you bound up in self, then he will be able to block you from the presence of God. Please hear that. If he can get you bound up in self, then he can keep you from the presence of God. Everything that you need is in him, for it is in him that we live, it is in him that we move, it is in him that we have our being. See? So then if I'm trying to live my life based out of me, what I understand, what I prefer, what I would wish would happen, then I have just become selfish and separated from the very life of God. See, listen to what he said. He said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. I just love that. So God, if you would, God does not have favorites. He doesn't have stepchildren. He doesn't have grandchildren. All God has is children. And now are we the children of God. Wow. I mean, that just really kind of sets you free, because you don't have to worry about if I am his favorite, I'm his child. That automatically made me his favorite. Automatically. See? I mean, if we would we get that, then we would stop acting like sub-heirs. He did not make us sub-heirs. He made us joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Connected at the same place. See, I am trying to give you the things that would eliminate all of the confusion that you have, thinking that you have to make yourself worthy, make yourself accepted. Please read Ephesians chapter 1. It says that he's already made us accepted in the beloved. That's a past tense thing. It didn't say he's going to make. He's already made that happen. He's made you sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, power, and might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. So he's expecting you to then live, because he's given you all things, according to what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that by these things that he's already given unto us, we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might be able to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. What would be part of that corruption? It would be confusion, wouldn't it? Let's read in the book of James. And let's just kind of look at this, chapter 3. And he's trying to get us to understand that I was telling somebody today, and it was just so good the way it came out. You know, we speak of Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. I like the way that God kind of opened that up to me today, because he put particular emphasis on the words beginning and end. I know that we think beginning through the end. I'm not mad about that. I get that. But he specified two different positions, the beginning, one, and the end, two. Why? Because generally, we have messed up all the stuff in the middle. Amen. So he says, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with my original intent and my ability to execute. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I understand that it's both times and all times. I got that. But he said that I'm not going to deal with the middle. I'm going to deal with my original promise to you and my ability to bring that promise to pass. I found out that God really doesn't need my help. He simply needs my agreement. Okay? And what we try to do is we try to earn salvation and deliverance. See, he's already given it to me. When I called upon the name of the Lord, everything I needed was given to me instantly. See, so now the only thing I can do is learn how to walk in him. In him I live, and in him I move, and in him I have my being. Please go back and hear how many times he put us in reference of in him. See? It did not say, in me I move. By me I move. By me I have my being. No, it says, in him I live. My motion is in him. Jesus said things like this in John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing. So then I make sure that I stay in him, connected to him, and then now because I'm in him, all things become possible. Believing is easy now because I know that he has already blessed me in heavenly places with all spiritual blessings. See, so we've got to get to the place where we allow our heart to understand that God is not the author of confusion. If I find myself in a place where it's hard to believe or it's hard to grasp, then I need to find out that that's not what God authored. He did not author anything that would put my heart in that position. And I appreciate that whatever my mother and my father were able to learn and glean from the Word of God and introduce me to, I appreciate that. But because they might have been introduced to something that was off center, then I begin to process my life from that position of being off center. Just so that you can kind of get a concept here, if I take off from New York and I'm going to L.A., and I am 1 degree off when I leave L.A., I don't know if I will ever reach L.A. from New York. If I'm 1 degree off when I leave New York, I don't know where I'm going to end up. The 3,000 miles from coast to coast, something like that, if I'm 1 degree off every mile within that 3,000-mile trip, good God, where will I end up? See? So I need to go back and find out what the Word says. Yes, I appreciate all the sacrifice and things that my mother and my grandmother might have done. But I need to live and move in him, not move in my things that I inherited from my grandmother. Okay? There's a scripture that asks us in Romans. It says, do you have faith? Then have it to yourself before God. Okay, the promises that God makes to you, they are individual promises between you and him. That doesn't give you license to do it your way. They were already promises when you were introduced to them. It was already finished, Alpha and Omega. It was already written before you got there. So then I'm not giving you license to do it any kind of way you want to. No, what I'm doing is asking you to go back to the original intent and follow it throughout. Okay? That's what we want to do. That tells me that that's what God authored. He authored that. He sanctioned that. His blood was given for that. Okay? So those are the things that we have to do. Understand that. He asks us a question here in James chapter 1, verse 13 and following. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his lifestyle a good conversation, okay? Show out of a conversation, a lifestyle, his good works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, this position, descendeth not from above, but it is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. Why? Because where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. I want you to see that confusion is birthed out of envy and strife. Where there is envying and strife, there is confusion. And confusion will open you up to every evil work. Now, I just want you to kind of see that. That if I'm going to function in life trying to do it the way I feel, okay? They hurt me, and so I feel like I don't want to forgive them. I feel like I'm going to hold this against them. He said, if there is envying and if there is strife. Please notice he didn't say if there was a little envying, if there was a little strife. He said if there is envy and strife, period, there is confusion, and because of that, every evil work. I would circle the word every there. Because the devil is trying to get you to function out of the confusion that he sent or caused so that you will then be subjected to everything he wants to do. If I can just stop the envy and if I can just stop the strife, if I would allow love to cover a multitude of sins, I just stop the devil in his tracks. Because where there is confusion, look out. You cannot chase as much stuff as the devil's going to send at you. He didn't say there will be one evil work. He didn't say there will be 12 evil works. He said when you function in a position where strife is in your life, strife is in your heart, unforgiveness is what you choose, he says you just open yourself up for every possible attack that the devil has, every evil work. Okay, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it is peaceable. See, God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of strife, which leads to confusion, but he's the author of peace. For the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See, God just took care of any confusion being in your life. If I'm going to be an off-putting person, that means a person that is not gentle. I put you in certain segments if I'm going to allow you to do anything in my life, say anything in my life. I'm mad at Pastor because Pastor didn't speak to me today, so I'm off-putting. He said, no, this wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle and easy to be entreated. He doesn't have to please you so that you can then allow love to work in your life. It is full of mercy. Full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and then you can participate in what the fruit of righteousness would be, because the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus told us in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the peace finders. He said, I need you to be one that's going to make peace. I need you to be the one that says, if peace is not here, I'm going to find out how to make it. I'm not going to listen after the lies of the enemy that's trying to separate me, because confusion will always separate. Confusion, because the Bible tells us, owe no man anything but to love him, okay? So wait a minute. If I owe him love, then I must pay that debt. If I don't pay that debt, I am now found to be a thief and a robber because I owe the man love, okay? So So that if I owe him love and I'm just going to say I'm going to withhold it, that is a confused state. That wisdom did not come from above. That wisdom is earthy. It is sensual. It operates according to senses, feelings, unrenewed desires. And it is devilish. See, I mean, we give the enemy entrance into our life because we don't resist him, we assist him. God says, if you have aught against any, forgive. And we figure that it's okay that I don't forgive because they did this, they said this. But he makes it very clear. God is removing confusion at the time you heard the word. It's very simple. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Stop listening at what God is not the author of. For God is not the author of confusion. If you're going to be irresolute, if you're going to have two minds about a thing, your way, they way, God's way, if you're going to have that kind of an attitude, then you are practicing confusion. And where there is envy and strife, please know, that will always give birth to confusion and every evil work. I mean, you're going to be so busy. Come on, y'all. You are going to be busy all day long just dealing with the evil work. You can't be about the Father's business. You can't be about ordering your steps in the Word because you are too busy functioning in a position of envy or strife. And if you function in that position of envy and strife, then there is confusion. He didn't say there will be confusion, that it's on the way. He said it is there. And because it is there, now you have to deal with every evil work. I'm trying to make this simple so that in the days to come, we got the beginning of a new year. So I want you to enjoy 2020 because you have 2020 vision of clarity and purpose. I don't want you to continue to go through 2020 with the same thought and mindset as I can do it my way sometime and God's way sometime. That's just not the way God thinks. Okay? God does not author any of those works. God authors peace. And he authors this peace. This is what's so good. Again, just go back to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. So God authors peace, and he authors it in the place of gathering of the saints. And I know sometimes, you're going to go into a situation where the place of gathering of the saints causes you issues. You feel some kind of way because of what they did, because of what they said. God says, yes, I know that. This is iron that's sharpening iron. I am showing you the things in you by the things that just happened to you so that you can sharpen the iron. So that you can cut away the thing that the devil is trying to use to set you up for all evil works. It takes the word to cut that away. And if you're going to go to the place of gathering, the place where God said peace should be, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace as it is in all the churches of the saints. See, don't you remember that in Galatians chapter 6, it says, as you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Please, brothers and sisters, use your faith in the place God has gathered to release peace. I mean, to me, it's a crazy concept to think that I'm going to go to the house of worship, to the house of praise, and there are people in the house of worship that I don't like. My God, if nothing else, in the house of worship, everybody there you should love. And we have things, and you can hear conversations. See, I came out of a traditional denominational church, and it was Baptist. And I knew in the Baptist church there were people that were gossiping and talking about other people in the Baptist church. People that might be sitting two rows behind them, sitting on the other side of church because I don't want to be around them. I mean, this was happening in God's house. And God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But it couldn't, you could not be about the business of praying because you have envy and strife. And because of that, there is confusion and every evil work. See, God didn't author that. He doesn't want you to participate in that. Not because he's trying to ignore what happened to you. He's trying to get you to do what he told you to do when someone offends you. I'm back in Matthew chapter 5. He said that you are supposed to pray for those that despitefully use you. Okay, please hear that. Please hear it. He did not say pray for those that used to use you. Okay, turn over there, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And it's in red in your Bible. That lets you know that this was spoken by Jesus himself. And so if it was spoken by Jesus, then there is no kind of hedge that we can do. We can't say, well, you know, that was just his interpretation. I'm sorry. Jesus didn't have an interpretation. He spoke the word of God expressly. Okay? See, but we kind of think that maybe some kind of way we're going to work it a different way. We're going to get some end up in heaven by accident. Glory to God. That doesn't happen, beloved. You go to heaven on purpose. Hallelujah. There are not going to be any slip ups in heaven. I don't know how I got here. Yeah. And you're going to have to get there by walking the straight and narrow. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can get to the Father except by me. There is no other way. So then when he says forgive, he's serious about that. In fact, he's so serious that he's saying to you that you should not even let the sun go down on your wrath. Forget 4 or 5 weeks. He said you should not let one day go by that you haven't made this thing right. Because I know you're going to want to pray. And he says, as you stand praying, forgive. If you have ought against any. Because if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you. So your faith is contingent upon your ability to keep all of these evil works out of your life, envy and strife, confusion. God did not author them. And, I mean, we have been reading the books over and over that we wrote that said I had a right to hold unforgiveness against this brother, that sister, because of this event. I've got a right. I'm justified in my position. Jesus says, no, you're not justified in that. I did not author that. That's not in my word. If he did not author it, it's not in his word concerning you, is it? So we've got to look at this thing and begin to process it from that position. Just trying to again get you to hear how so many times and so many ways that he said that. And I'm looking at chapter 5. And there's so many things, but he was saying in the Beatitudes, this is what your attitude ought to be. He says that you're supposed to, in verse, starting at verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for how much? Nothing. I mean, he's asking you to participate by letting things go. If you don't, he says, you are good for nothing. You cannot end up in your destiny because you keep blocking the flow of love that should come out of you for others. Okay? So then do you want to get, I'll ask it this way. Would you like to get out of the trial and experience victory? Well, if you would like to get out of the trial, you're going to have to release love. Because as long as you have envy and strife, you will then have every evil working in your life against what you want to have for your life. I hope you see this. Okay? Because it's not God holding anything back from you. It's you deciding that you're going to argue with the thing that's already been given. It's already been assigned for you to do that. See? And he goes on continuing this process all the way through to verse 43. Again, he's still doing this over and over and over again. When he started in chapter 5, verse 1, and he said, this is what your attitude ought to be, and these are the things that you ought to do. By the time he gets to 43, he said, and you heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. He didn't say your enemy, please hear Jesus. He said, love your enemies. There's an S on that word. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. It would be one thing if he said, just pray for those that despitefully use you. He said, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why, Jesus? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the good and the evil, descend the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward do you have? Do not the publicans even the same? And if you salute your brethren only, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Even the publicans do that. I need for you to be perfect, he said, even as your Father in heaven is mature. That's what the word perfect there meant. He said, be mature. Stop being a child. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the thinking that today is not a good day because they said this. He said, stop being a child. Grow up. You can tell when it's not working because if you have envy and strife in your hearts, lie not, glory not against the truth, lie not against the truth. This is not the wisdom. This is not the story that you're supposed to be following. See? God said that he is looking for peace in the place where his saints gather. You know, I have thought about it from this aspect. There are people that come to church that need a refreshing because you're supposed to enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So there are people that come to church that need a refreshing. But here I am functioning in unforgiveness, so what they need, I can't supply now. It doesn't flow through me. I'm a dam in the house of the Lord. I'm the one that is supposed to be able to connect them to their supply, but I'm going to be one that blocks the flow of God because God is not in the midst of that. Glory to God. He's not in the midst of that. See, he resists evil. He resists pride. He doesn't hang out in the midst of it. He wants to do good, but the vessels that he's chosen to put his love in will not release his love, so that he can't do what he wants to do, or he could bear do no mighty works because they chose to not believe him. They chose to say, it's not necessary for me to forgive. It's not necessary for me to love. Just some interesting things. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You know, peace is inclusive in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. So then, if I stop the flow of any of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, love, okay, it is all of those things flowing, not one of those things flowing. I can't pick and choose which one I'm going to release today. First of all, it is the fruit or the increase of the Spirit of God in your life. It is evidence for other people. Okay, well, let's try it this way. The fruit that grows on the tree is not for the tree. The fruit that grows on the tree is for those that come to the tree. Okay? So then the fruit of the Spirit is not just for you. It's for those that came to the church that were needing a time of refreshing. And here we go, inviting them into our judgment, inviting them into our pride, inviting them into our hurt. Girl, let me tell you about it. No, that's not what they need to do. They need to have a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. They need the ability to have someone agree with them that they can stop the devil at work in their life. But here you are participating in more hell than they got. Because you know better, and when you have envy and strife in your heart, the letter said to you, there is confusion and every evil. See, we're supposed to be the ones that are gathering around the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. There's nothing that can stop this from flowing. God will be able to heal. God will be able to deliver. Why? Because they came to the place where the people of God are gathered, and peace is supposed to be found there. Peace is supposed to be released there. Because where peace is, nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. So that's why people are supposed to come to the filling station, the house of the Lord, the place of prayer. They're supposed to be able to come, and then they can leave not being the same. They can leave having an encounter with the Spirit of the living God. See, we're not supposed to go there in our pride, rehearse our pride, and then leave there with our pride growing. We're supposed to go and enjoy times of refreshing from his presence. Because when we have that refreshing flowing through our lives, and out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water, when we have that flowing out of their lives, they will be able to have their thirst quenched. They're looking for answers, and those answers are found in the Spirit of God. They're found in the love of God. See, our time of worship and fellowship was so that people that were not saved can come in and be convicted of sin, not participate in no sin. You know, my side of the sin flow. They should be able to leave there healed, transformed, renewed, touched by the Spirit of God, convicted from the position that the flow that we have is not the flow that they have, but it's the flow that they need. They need to be convicted of that. Please tell me, when you see that happening, how do you see the church not filling up day by day? with something like that happening, they're not going to wait for 1 week in the 1 week in the day, 1 day in the week to come together. They will do what the Bible says. They went from house to house daily. Glory to God. That's how we would impact the world. That's how we would bring him back, because he's not coming back till we look like him, y'all. He's seated until we put all enemies under his feet. One of the enemies that we should put under his feet would be strife, unforgiveness, confusion should be under his feet. But we are rather promulgating confusion, making it be the norm in the church. That's why people have said they didn't want to participate in what Christianity is, because it ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. They didn't see a bunch of answer, a bunch of deliverance, a bunch of fellowship. They saw a bunch of hypocrites. Some of those that had envy and strife, and because of that, every evil work was seen. God does not offer things that don't work. God does not offer things that would fail. But he offers things that would cause victory to be seen and experienced by all that come into his presence. But sometimes we offer things that are contrary to God. We even agree with the enemy and then try to get God to release judgment on our agreement that's in sin. This is confusion. This is another spirit. God didn't author that. He authored peace. God has given us the right to walk in love, because he said, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. That's Matthew chapter 18:18. God permits whatever you permit. And then he will give you a glimpse of what heaven says should be there day by day. My brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning things that are spiritual. See? When the will of God is known and ignored, confusion is born. Okay? You're already in the book of James. Just go back up a couple of chapters. Chapter 1. Let's watch this. See? He's trying to get us to participate in the thing from the right position so that we can win all the time, every time. James chapter 1, he asks us to hear from this way. Remember, he just said the wisdom that comes from above is first peaceable, is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, okay? So then he's going to ask this about us. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations, verse 2 and following. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, so he says, if wisdom has not been manifest, he's going to show you what's going to happen, because the wisdom that comes from above is going to be peaceable. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let that man ask in faith, nothing wavering. So then I cannot have two positions of thought, can I? I got to ask in faith. I've got to ask from the position of the word, not the position of my preference. But he that waveth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. See, if I don't have this stuff in my heart, he says the grace and the fashion of the thing will perish. I'll be trying to look good, but I ain't good, because the grace and the fashion of it has already perished. So shall the rich man fade in his way. So shall the man that is proud to do it his way, to do what he wants. That's the rich man. He's full of himself. He's not rich toward God. Blessed is the man, verse 12, that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. He says, so that if you're going to do it your way, that's going to, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, when all of those evil works are present, when it is finished, you got to go through the whole gamut, he just said. When it is finished, the next thing you're going to find is death. See, so whenever confusion is birthed, death is inevitable. Okay? You got to know this. God did not offer that. He did not call you to have to go through these things. If we would simply go with what God said and walk where he said by those ordered steps that he's already given to us, then we would end up in victory all the time. Yes, I do understand that sometimes it looks like we're taking the long way around. No problem. Every step that you take in the will of God is a step of strength. Glory to God. See, and as you walk in that newness of life, you will be strengthened so that the enemy can no longer test you in that. You won't have to keep dealing with every evil work. You can then go from glory to glory. You can then go from faith to faith. But if you're still having redundant trials over and over the same thing, then you have not applied the word of God, because the word of God will not return to him void. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleases. See? Go back to the drawing board and say, okay, God, now I've been putting up with this and putting up with this. Something is wrong, and I know that something is me. I must have residue of flesh in my heart, and that residue of flesh causes confusion, and confusion gives me the opportunity to have to go through every evil work. So he says that this is not how it's supposed to be. Verse 18, of his own will begot us, he with the word of truth, that we should be found the first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, because of this, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. So you ain't got time to be telling everybody what they're doing to you. He said, spend more time. You got two ears and one mouth. Spend more time listening than you do talking. And when you talk, be slow to talk. And then don't let that talk come out of your wrath. Be slow to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Because of this, you should lay apart every filthiness, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if you're going to continue to have to deal with every evil work, that's different. If you're going to have to continue with every evil work, you begin to think that that's all that's going to be in your life. You deceive your own self. You haven't been working righteousness. You've been working flesh, and flesh is making you tired. The Bible, Jesus said that the flesh is weak, it's making you tired. Okay? But if you would do what the word says, then you will not have to deceive yourself. You will then operate out of the goodness of God, and the goodness of God will lead you to the place where you can repent and never have to deal with it again. See, we're supposed to grow up in him. We're supposed to be those that become strengthened by his spirit. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. This thing, okay, y'all, this thing should get easier and easier. Hallelujah. Because his commandments are not grievous. And if I follow in his commandments, that means I'm not going to be in the hard way. The way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said, if you take my yoke upon you, if you learn of me, you will find that my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest unto your souls. Okay? You should be getting better and better at this, not continually going through a thing that's not bringing victory into the situation. Deceiving your own self. For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and not being a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. But if you seem to be religious, and you just don't do what he said, and you don't bridle your tongue, but you deceive your own heart, this man's religion is in vain. It don't work. Why? Because God's not the author of confusion. He didn't write that for you. That's not your script. Confusion is not by accident. It has to be permitted. Remember, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. When you allow confusion to work, then you have a willingness to follow something other than the word of God. You follow your feelings. You follow your hurt pride. You follow your rebellion, your religion, your lust, your own way, your right. That's not what he called you to follow. In fact, he told you to follow peace. Follow peace with all men. Okay? Because if you don't, you will not experience the holiness or see the holiness of God. See? I mean, we keep messing ourselves that we are what you would call self-checkers in basketball. Because the devil comes to check your oil. He's coming to see what your response is going to be. And I want you to be response-able. If your response is not what the word says, what the word requires, then you are not response-able. See? You are what I would call unresponse-able. This man's religion is in vain. He deceives his own heart. Okay? So you're going to have to begin to walk according to the word of God so you can see it. Quickly, turn over to Romans chapter 14. Just want you to get this so that you can follow peace. That's what he told us to do. Verse 16 of chapter 14. Listen at this. It says, let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. See, he's trying to get you to understand this is the kingdom, the place that he's called you, the place that he's expecting you to live from. Okay. He's not, oh, glory to God. He's not expecting you to live any longer from your intellect. He wants you to live from the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Please note, he did not say it is just righteousness. He did not say it is just peace. He did not say it is just joy. He said it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ, he's acceptable to God, and he will then be approved of men. If I allow righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost to be what I function by, because that's the kingdom, then I will be the one that serves Christ and then I will be acceptable to God. When I am acceptable to God, there is a guaranteed reward that will happen in every arena of my life. Things will then begin to work together for my good. I can stop trying to work the things. Please hear that. He says, when righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is alive and a part of the kingdom, and I'm alive in it, he says, then all things will work together for my good. I can stop trying to work the things. Jesus said, if you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, things will then be added unto you. Not worked for, they will be added unto you. The reward system of being acceptable to God works because at the same time you are acceptable unto God, you will be approved of men. Okay, let's do this. You will go up the chain that will cause prosperity to be stabilized in your life. You will no longer have faith accidents. You will be able to live from glory to glory. You will be able to participate in the things God said. When you walk uprightly, he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. In other words, things that the way it says in Proverbs, that goodness and mercy is supposed to follow too. That goodness and mercy is supposed to follow you. In Proverbs, it says that what will happen is you will be approved of man. You have favor with God and with man. The word of God works in two arenas at the same time. It is a two-edged sword. Just what you see right there, he that in these things serveth Christ is one, acceptable to God, and because he's acceptable to God, approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. This is what's supposed to happen in the place of gathering, the place where peace was supposed to be. This is what's supposed to be happening in the church gatherings. There should not be people sucking on persimmon seeds that's in church. Because they'll be looking for the peace of God to allow them to be approved of men and release things that would edify one another. In chapter 12, he had just told us that with all that's in you, you're supposed to live peaceably with all men. Okay? So then let's just ask that question. If I'm living peaceable with all that's in me, can I live being mad at somebody? You're at chapter 14. Just flip over to chapter 12. Let's just see this. Because God has called you to walk in this. Starting in verse 8. This is after he told you to have your mind renewed, not to be conformed. Okay? He told you this is how you ought to think. You're supposed to think soberly. Not think selfishly, but think soberly. Then he says, let love, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor that which is evil. So if you are seeing yourself with envy and strife, you will see manifestations of every evil work. He said, abhor that, hate that, deal with that. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Don't be slothful in this business. Don't put it off sometimes. Don't think that you can let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be slothful in this business, but be fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. provide things honest in the sight of it. He didn't say look for things. He said provide things that are honest. The peacemaker is the one that's blessed. Provide honest things in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much that lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He didn't ask you to repay. He said, vengeance don't belong to you, so therefore you can't dole it out. See, he's asking us to remove the confusion in our thinking that causes us to withhold the love of God from flowing where it's needed, and particularly in the church of God, in all churches. See, that's the calling card that in 2020 we're going to have to release. We're going to have to show people this kind of love. We're going to have to provide things that are honest as we live peaceably with all men. He said, with everything that lieth on the inside of you. So I just don't know how anger, frustrations, and fears could be resident on the inside of you and you could live and provide honest things to all men, living at peace with them. I just don't see how that's going to be possible. You're going to have to decide to walk in God not being an author of confusion. There is no question any longer about this. I cannot be double-minded about this. I'm going to have to settle this in my heart. I cannot owe any man anything but to love him. I'm going to have to execute that promise. I don't want to stay in the position that I'm in and year out. I don't want the sun going down on my wrath. I want God to be the one that is acceptable to me. I'm living acceptably with God. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God shed his love abroad in your heart so that you can release it, so that you can give it away. Because love is not love until it's given away. The thought of love is not what causes the blessing to come to you. It is the action of love. God rewards his word that is alive, his word that is active in your life. He rewards that because he sees that you trust him. He sees that you are willing to give up everything to allow that word on the inside to live so that the life that you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You no longer frustrate the grace of God by living in confusion. Father, we just thank you and we bless you that you have given us a word of clarity as we enter into the new seasons of 2020, that we would be able to walk pleasing unto you, walk as those that are acceptable unto you, Father. And then as we do that, you will cause us to be approved of men. You will make our lot in life that which is favorable, that which is easy to be emulated because it's easy to be seen. It is readily approved of, causing us to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, walking in victory day by day. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, we're going to go ahead now and open up the lines for any commentary or how the ministry tonight blessed you. Or if you have any questions, you can go ahead and we can address those questions. So I'm going to allow area code 443861235. 443861235. You have the mic.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I just want to say that I was so blessed by the word tonight. It just touched my heart, and it made me just realize that I need to make sure that I've forgiven, and that if it's not peace, it's not of the Lord, it's not peaceable. Every evil work is not of the Lord. And it just made me check myself
mm-hmm.
and realize that I need to stay in my word, focus on the word, and know that if it's peaceable, it's of the Lord. If it's not, I might need to step back and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? What do I need to do?
The
message made me check myself.
Amen.
So I'm very thankful. Thank you for that word.
Amen. Thank you for being there, and we'll look for you on the next call. Amen. Thank you. Be blessed.
Thank you. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Amen. All right, we're going to go to area code 706-961-9724. You have the mic. Area code 706-961-9724. You have the mic. Amen. Any comments or questions about the ministry for the night? Amen. Again, we thank you for just being on the call, and we're not demanding that you say anything. I will, however, say what the word says, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so then, if there is anything that you would like to say, you have the mic, and you could voice that when you have the mic. I'm going to ask area code 470-418-1818. If there's anything you'd like to have as a comment or a question, you have the mic. Area code 470-418. You have the mic. All righty. So then again, if the message tonight has been a blessing to you, and God is moving on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, you can go to the website and you can go ahead and give an offering. The Bible says that if you've been blessed, then you should do that to speak to the principalities and powers that are in your life and frustrating you. You'll be able to say, I sowed the seed into good ground, and that seed will bring forth good fruit in my life. So if you want to, you can go to the website, and you could be a blessing by sowing the seed. If all hearts and minds are clear, we appreciate you being with us here at livedeliverance.com, Blog Talk Radio. And until we are gathered again, probably next week, we will not be here because that is a holiday week. So then, again, if you are, next time we can join together, we will get together in fellowship in the presence of the Lord. Shalom.